Recording conversation.
This is Riddlebox, and I have on with me
JCA. How are you guys doing?
And today we're gonna JCA is gonna tell me about MAMO and the MAMO project. So
At least I'm gonna try.
What's that?
At least I'm gonna try.
Yeah, he can do it better than I can. So. I guess first, you want to just give a general description of MAMO and what it is?
Sure. So MAMO basically is a platform that Nokia created for their devices. That's the N770 or Internet tablet. And then they created the new version, the N800 and the N810, which they're all Internet tablet PC devices that run Linux, and they run a subset of some of the tools that you will find on the GNOME desktop, but they were modified for the specific specs of the device, and they call it MAMO.
So this just specifically runs on the Nokia N8 series, right? Nothing else?
Well, actually, there's been some rumors about some UMPCs, ultra mobile PCs, that have adopted MAMO. One of them is most of them they're done in Asia, and they're not really well recognized brands. They're mostly like hardware labs that have been able to create and adopt MAMO in their devices.
So what is one of the great things about MAMO?
Well, one of the things is that basically when Nokia said that they wanted to get into the embedded Linux space, and this is also very interesting in the sense that Linux has been really strong on the embedded space. There's not a single month that you don't see any new device coming with Linux embedded. So when Nokia got behind the project of trying to come up with an embedded Linux system, it really resounded across the open source sphere, and there was a lot of people that were excited about it. They initially started with, also it was very interesting because they actually stand behind Debian, which also was, a very big victory for a lot of Linux users, because traditionally, big companies will ignore the Debian space, and they will create their own Linux distro, or they will adopt some of the embedded Linux, commercial embedded Linux, like Monta Vista Linux, and I think there was another one, I can't remember the name now, but basically, when they actually announced that they were going to work with the community and they chose Debian, a lot of people were happy about it. Also, they chose the GTK toolkit, which is the toolkit that people in the GNOME desktop and XFCE and others use as the core widgets or the core toolkits for their GUIs. That also created a lot of vibrant noise across the internet. So you will see Planet GNOME, a lot of developers start getting hired in Nokia and just devoted to work on improving the toolkit and adapting the toolkit to the device. The result was a great device. It actually won a lot of awards and a lot of recognition. The N7 City back in... when was it launched? I think it was launched in 2006. I think 2006 was the year that the N770 was launched. and it won a lot of Devices Gadgets of the Year award. I think Engadget also gave it the award as the device of the year. So it was pretty interesting, interesting times for the Linux people.
Now, does since MAMO is built from the Linux kernel and Debian and GNOME and stuff, does it run a lot of the normal apps that are out there, or do you have to get them compiled for that platform?
Well, so there's well, yes, most people, because the N770 came with a ARML, or with a strong ARM processor. It wouldn't be a regular Intel processor. In the very beginning, you didn't have many options to code from on the repositories, so the repositories were very small. But there were workarounds, and one of the early workarounds was using Slackware. So there was a repository for Slack packages on Slack for ARM. So all the packages into that repository were encoded for the strong ARM processor, and you could just basically download the Slackware installer and install it on your distro, and it will run. So you get, all of a sudden you got, well, a larger repository, and you will be able to get Apache, you will be able to get wget, and all these kind of, well, very friendly Unix tools. And it was fun times from that point. Then the Debian packages actually became larger and larger, and more people start contributing. And most people were realizing that they just need to download the source code, re-encode on the ARML processor, and that was all they need to do as far as tinkering goes to adapt the application to the N770 platform. So I guess one of the things was that they were very Linux compliant.
And do you own a 770 or 810 or?
Yes, I actually own a couple. I own the 770 and the N800. I didn't really jump into the N810 just because I didn't see much upgrade from the N800 to the N810. However, my brother got an NA10, and he's liking it, and it's a little bit improved. It's better processing power, and it has an internal memory card. However, well, one of the big things that the NA10 brings is a built-in keyboard, which a lot of people thought that was very useful. Although, after using N770 and N800, I got really well used to the virtual keyboard with the stylus, and I type pretty fast, so I guess I don't miss the real hardware keyboard, after all.
And how is the community around the MAMO project? Is it pretty big, or is it still pretty small?
Actually, it's have grown quite a bit. A lot of people, you see the forums being very active. So one of the best spots to go is a website devoted to, as well, MAMO.org, but also there has been a lot of fan sites, and Internet Tablet Talk is one of them, and they have actually got really big. The forum is pretty active, and a lot of people are constantly talking about how to hack their NA100 or NA10. I found a lot of tips there, and I will encourage people to go and visit it. There's also the wikis on MyAMO, on wiki.myamo.org, and there's also a Garage is basically like a SourceForge type of environment, just for people that want to just join in, open an account. They will have all the SourceForge tools that they will usually use, and then can use it to develop their own application for the N800.
And they also have an IRC channel, and I see on their website they have tutorials and some documentation, and There is a section in there for repositories. Now, the website is being really slow, so I can't see. Is there a lot of extra repositories that you can add to it and apt-get the any different software?
Yeah, so they actually come a couple of times in a year with a new version of the... they upgrade the kernel, they patch the system, and they have different repositories from those versions. And you can see it up in pool.repository.myemo.org, and that's one of the places that you can go and find all the different repositories for Maemo. On the wiki, there's also a lot of help to get the extra repositories. You can also get the alpha versions from Garage. So packages that have not yet made it into the repository, but some of them there, because like I said, sometimes people just recompile and that's all they need to do to adapt it to Maemo. You can actually take a little bit of chance with the alphas and install it on your N800 and run with it.
Now, the one thing I do remember hearing about everything with the the Nokia 770 and the N800 was you had to flash it to upgrade it. Is that right? And now, I guess with Diablo, you don't have to do that anymore?
Yeah, that's basically one of the very first requisites by the users, that they say, like, I usually install Linux, I just do an app upgrade or apt-get upgrade or something similar. However, because it's an actual device, an embedded device, they deal it by using firmwares. So you will flash your memory, will install the new firmware, and in the firmware, the actual OS will come with, like you said, well, actually Diablo tries to change that. That would be kind of like the last distribution, or actually the last version of the Maemo platform that you need to install by flashing the device. But yeah, I mean, personally, I have not had any problems flashing the device. I mean, it's a very quick and easy process. It's just a new process that I guess many people were not welcoming, because the thing is that you lose your data. It's not like you will partition and it will just erase your root partition. It will actually take out the whole memory. So sometimes you'll have to migrate all your data to an external SD card and then flash it and then restore the backup. But I actually never lose any big information. I did that and it went without any problems, basically.
That's always good. I know as soon as someone talks about flashing firmware, everybody freaks out.
Yeah.
I still haven't updated my BIOS on my desktop because I'm just nervous. And these devices, you know, I'm looking at a picture on Wikipedia, and I mean, they're small. I always pictured them as being, you know, big and bulky, but they look like they're pretty small.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome. Actually, my dad has an iPhone, and I have an N800, the iPhone. It's basically the same size. It's a little bit bigger than the N800. But then again, if you look at it, that this is an internet tablet and it has surround speakers, but the iPhone has this really tiny speaker hidden and it's just unfunctional, while the other one got like polygram kind of speakers, so like stereo speakers, so they're pretty awesome. You can just turn it on and listen to everything.
And what kind of software comes by default with it?
Well, so this is an actual end-user device. It's marketed to end users, and it's not planning to be geeky. So some of the stuff of the stack applications might not be very exciting to many geeks. It's basically an image viewer, a browser, note-taking application, and the whole configuration stack, and I think there was also another thing. No command lines, for example. No emulators, video game emulators or whatever. It's just very, very bare bones. And for people that are not geeks, Actually, the coolest thing will be the video chat application that will integrate with the Jabber. They have a native Jabber client for IM and video chatting, like video conferencing. And also they have a Skype client, which also is pretty good for most people.
So it's got a microphone built in. Does it have like a headset port?
Standard headset port. You can just plug in your headset and speak right through. The mic is built in. It's very good quality. It's pretty good. It's like, for example, you go to any cafe around the corner that has an open Wi-Fi, and you're just basically doing your work and talking to the device, and then you're talking to, I don't know, two or three people that you're doing conferencing call, and you're just there talking to the device. And it's pretty handy. It's pretty geeky also.
Yeah, it's right on par with the Triple EPC, but Triple EPC is a little bit bigger.
Right. And this is like, you know, like conference call. You can just put it on the table, and because speakers are pretty good, you can actually listen to the conversation without having the device holding in your hand and put it on your head or whatever. And the display is actually pretty good. You can watch right now, once you get the repos and once you start looking at all the things that you can get, there's a whole bunch of stuff. You get the Xterm, you get MC, Midnight Commander, you got all the Ncursus applications, VNC, so you can VNC into your desktop or your laptop, and you have SSH, you have SFTP, everything that you expect from a Linux distro. You actually have ScumVM, which is a video game emulator. You can have a Game Boy emulator. It's pretty awesome. It will blow your mind once you get all the applications that have been around for the 800 nowadays. I can say that one of my favorites is also a WordPerfect client. I mean, a WordPress client. So you can blog offline, and when you get a hotspot, it will just sync it to your blog, which is pretty cool.
That is nice. I've heard like some people have mapped out keys and stuff for emulators and for MAME and stuff, so that you can actually download it and install it on the N800, and it's right out of the box, ready to play with, you know, in the most comfortable position and stuff.
Right. So the N800, they have a pad on the side of the screen, and it can work basically like if you were playing some kind of Game Gear, Game Boy device, PSP device. So I have used it, and of course it's not the most perfect pad, because it's not built for playing video games, but it's quite useful. I mean, it's usable, and you can have very good fun playing with it. I can say that they also have a YouTube client, so if you can do the actual application, is built as if it was like the YouTube website, and you can get the most views button and all these other buttons that you will see on the website, and you can just browse. It will download the YouTube video. You can either save it to your device or stream it right through. It also have a KM player. It has M player, and it has all the supports that you expect from M player to play MOV, QuickTime, and all that, all the different formats. And a KM player, there's actually a World 99 TV or World TV 99, and you get all these channels from all these countries. You have a global TV guide. You can just go to France and watch French TV or either odd places like, I don't know, Georgia or Romania or South Africa. It's really, really, really geeky that you're, hey, I'm looking, I'm watching a Thai MTV, for example. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I'm watching it, but can't understand any of it.
Right.
Well, that's pretty neat. I think the whole thing is, you know, the whole project is looking pretty nice.
Yes, and if you have the chance, or anybody has the chance, to go and take a look at the garage garage.maymo.org, there are some amazing projects, and some of the developers is a one-man operation, and they'll be gladly to, you know, you can just join them and use your skills, and you can actually learn a lot in developing software for the MAMO, because, and the cool part is that your knowledge that you get developing for MAMO, you can actually apply it later on to the Linux desktop. So most of the development is like, for example, PyMAMO, which is almost the same as PyGTK, and it's the combination of Python with GTK. So if you can get that narrowed down and become a good developer for PyMAMO, it will be really simple just to start coding applications on the desktop. So there's a lot of push of new and very creative applications that use some of the specific things on the device, like the pressure points of the stylus that you might not find in the desktop necessarily with the mouse. But most of the things are transferable. I mean, so the widgets, the windows, the interface. It might change the interface, but at least the code, the engine will be the same. And we're getting new exciting things, like, for example, an open document viewer in MAMO, an office suite developed specifically for MAMO. With Diablo, a lot of new tools came of age. So, for example, we have, it's not Evolution really, it's more like GNOME Calendar, but it's a very Evolution-like interface, and it will connect with Google Calendar, so you can sync your MAMO calendar with, which is a GTK-based calendar, with Google Calendar. So that's also pretty cool as you merge the Web 2.0 with the mobile device.
It looks like right now they have 685 projects on garage.mamo.org.
Yeah, that's quite
so,
a bit.
Yeah, it looks like it's pretty popular.
Yeah, that's right. And I guess, college students that might be hearing this podcast want to do a project as a graduation or, you know, just to get their degree. I mean, this device might actually be a perfect fit. There's a lot of people starting to innovate. I've seen YouTube videos that they just blew up my mind. I mean, the projects are becoming so geeky and complex at the same time that it's like you will never think that this device will be working for this kind of application. So, for example, I saw a guy that was using his MAMO on YouTube to as a universal remote controller. So he was able to manage like 5 different PCs on the network and being able to monitor the traffic of the packages between the PCs. So he was using the MAMO as a visualizer of the packages. That was pretty geeky.
Yeah, I've heard of people that have somebody made a remote control for Myth TV so you could control it over your wireless network, you know, and do that.
Yeah. Actually, there is a project in MAMO repo called Myth Remote or MythMod. So it's basically that. It's how to get an interface to control your Myth TV.
You had to figure Myth TV would come into the project sometime.
Yes, yeah, also a lot of developer for the device for mobile devices. So one of the down things, a lot of people say, oh, well, it's not really what I was looking for, because they say Nokia, they think phones. However, this device is not a phone. I guess it's an internet phone because it has Gizmo and it has Skype on it, but it's not really a regular 3G network phone. But it will connect to the phone, and there's a lot of projects that they're also involved using your phone in conjunction with an 800 via the Bluetooth chipset. So you will connect to the phone, use the tablet as an interface to type your text messages, and even control other parts of most of the phones that. So you will download the calendar, I mean, not the calendar, but the list of contacts, and you can call them straight from the any 100. So the phone will be just like, basically, I guess, the chipset, like an API kind of a setup.
And most things are going to voice over IP anyway, so it'll probably, you know, slowly get better and better.
Yes, and the quality is awesome also on the N800. Like I said, I use it in a noisy coffee place, and the person that was listening to the conversation on the other end, she was pretty impressed. She was like, oh, I thought you were at home. There was a really good noise cancellation engine on the N800.
Yeah, well, that sounds... I'm sold. I think I'm going to have to go buy one now.
Yeah, you should. Actually, what I heard is that they're selling N800s for $150 up on eBay. Just because the N810 is out. So they're really, really, really inexpensive if you know, and if you have the patience to look for one up on eBay and all these other sites, you might be able to get one pretty cheap. And there's rumors of the next version, the N900, and there's still a lot of vaporware around that, but it seems that a lot of things are going to migrate, and this is one of the controversies, I guess, but they're migrating to QT because, well, Nokia bought Trolltech, which is the people that use Qt, the Qt toolkit or framework, and they're migrating a lot of stuff to KDE. So now I guess they're turning and hiring a lot of KDE developers to port some of the KDE applications into the N800. And the latest was that I think KOffice was already running on the N800. Or at least I think it was the NA10 actually. So they have Krita that is a it's a graphic application, and Kexi was also running on the NA10. So that was pretty awesome because now you're getting a lot of the best of both worlds. Now you're getting a lot of KDE and Qt type of applications. Another thing that they were also innovating was on the browser. So at the beginning, they have Opera Mini, which was, basically Opera, the browser, which is very prevalent in the embedded space. So all your Nokia cell phones will have the Opera browser. However, they switch and to a browser called Micro B. And Micro B is basically a small embedded form factor browser like Firefox. So it will use Gecko and it will act as Firefox, but then again, the down point is that some of the extensions were not really built as compatible with the Micro B browser. However, it was a very good stable browser. And now what they're trying to do is they want to innovate once again and migrate to WebKit. So they want to have a WebKit-based browser for the next version of the Nokia tablet family.
All right, well, I'm pretty much out of questions, so...
Well, if people want to learn about getting in touch with the N800, with the MAMO people, go to MAMO.org, and go to visit the wiki, and also... Google for Internet Tablet Talk, which is the premier forum for the MAMO users. And if you don't have yourself a MAMO or an N800 device, go to eBay and try to get it for cheap. And I bet you're definitely going to enjoy it. I guess the big comparison is, what about the iPhone? And the iPhone has been overexposed and for so many years, since it came out. However, like I said, my dad has an iPhone, and I have an N800, and I'm seeing that the iPhone, really is all about, it just represents what commercial people or commercial platform users think about devices. Like, oh yeah, this is so functional, but each step of the functionality, you have to spend money on it. And even if it's $1 or if it's $2, it's cheap or whatever, you still have to, like, well, you cannot see the source code of the applications. You can only, you know, tinker with things that companies provide to you or developers provide to you. And you're just, you know, trapped in this, well, consumerism that you need to get more applications and you need to pay for those applications. And then your iPhone goes to crap because it has so many applications that starts crashing all the time. While the N800 on the other side, well, at least the open field of going into a project, opening the source code, getting really easy languages to learn like Python, and tweak and start playing around with your own development. So, for example, I went to Sweden earlier this year, and just like a couple of days before, I start getting my first PyGTK application that will transform from krona, which is the currency in Sweden, to euros, to dollars, so I can know the dollar amount of whatever I need to buy there. And I just did it myself, and I was pretty proud about it. And I didn't need to go and ask Apple for permission so I can develop or jailbreak my iPhone or whatever to be able to develop for my N800. So this is the freedom that we're usually used to if you're a Linux user. But it's also amazing that you can start applying it to embedded devices, that you buy it, and it's in a certain, I guess you can use it to a certain level, but once you get all developers in, it just explodes into this multi-purpose device that can do anything. So I guess that will be my closing speech about getting an N800 and thinking about MAMO.
All right, well, I guess that's it then.
Great, awesome. So send you guys an email if you guys have questions at jca@openoffice.org. You can send me your comments and also other things that you want us to talk about. This is our second episode, and I hope you guys enjoy it.
Yep, and you can reach me at james@nigmatech.com.
Thank you for listening to Hacker Public Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.